You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of One Nation Under Fraud. My name is Gary Wilmot, and we have another great show for you today. My special guest in the second and third segments is Commander Charles Kirshner, U.S. Navy retired. Commander Kirshner is no doubt well-known to most of you, as he has been on the front lines of this eligibility battle for the past 4 years, and he has been a tireless defender of the Constitution. Today, I have asked him to join us and discuss his research regarding the eligibility, that is, the citizenship status of a number of potential vice presidential wannabes or hopefuls. We will also take a look at the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, Mitt Romney. Romney, as you probably know, is the son of former presidential candidate George Romney, who was actually born in Mexico. So we'll discuss that issue with Commander Kirshner also a bit later in the program. While I was preparing for this show the other day, trying to decide what I was going to discuss in the opening segment, I came across an article by Paul Hollrah, H-O-L-L-R-A-H. I don't know Paul personally, but I have read several of his articles and essays regarding the eligibility issue. This latest article had been forwarded to me by Joan Swirsky, who is also a fine author, writer, columnist in her own right. Anyway, I read this article by Paul, and it was such a well-reasoned and powerful article that I thought that I would take the time to read it in this opening segment. I won't read all of it, but I'll read most of it, and I'm sure you'll find that the article is a great summation of what our situation is today. I don't know Paul personally, as I said, but he is a writer for a weekly column for the Mays County Banner, is my understanding, and some conservative organizations. He also contributes to redcounty.com and is a native of Missouri. So the article is entitled, What to Do About Obama. In a July 25, 1787 letter to George Washington, the presiding officer of the Constitutional Convention, John Jay, wrote as follows, quote, permit me to hint whether it would be wise and seasonable to provide a strong check to the admission of foreigners into the administration of our national government, and to declare expressly that the commander-in-chief of the American Army shall not be given to nor devolve on any but a natural-born citizen, unquote. Alexander Hamilton shared the future Chief Justice's concerns. In Federalist Paper No. 68, he wrote, quote, these most deadly adversaries of Republican government, cabal, intrigue, etc., might actually have expected to make their approach from more than one quarter, but chiefly from the desire in foreign powers to gain an improper ascendant in our councils. How could they better gratify this than by raising a creature of their own to the chief magistracy of the Union, unquote. So is it even remotely conceivable that just 5 years and 11 months after the British surrendered at Yorktown, the founders would have produced a constitution for ratification by the states that would allow an individual with divided loyalties, i.e. an individual with dual U.S. British citizenship, to serve as President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief of the Army and the Navy? Absolutely not. To believe that they would have done so requires a willing suspension of reason. Accordingly, to prevent any person with divided loyalties from ever serving as President of the United States, the founders specified in Article 2, Section 1, that every person who would serve in that office must be not just a citizen, but a natural-born citizen of the United States. If we are to accept Barack Obama's word that his father was Barack Obama Sr., a citizen of Kenya, a British Crown colony, he cannot lay claim to being a natural-born citizen because under Part 2, Section 5.1 of the British Nationality Act of 1948, he was born with dual U.S.-British citizenship. He held dual U.S.-British citizenship from August 4, 1961 until December 12, 1963, the day on which Kenya won its independence from Great Britain. He held dual U.S.-Kenyan citizenship from December 12, 1963, until August 4, 1984, his 23rd birthday. See Chapter 6, Section 87.3 of the 1983 Kenyan Constitution. And he, Obama, has been a citizen of Kenya by birth from August 4, 2010 until today. See Chapter 3, Section 14 of the current Kenyan Constitution, adopted by national plebiscite on August 4th, no less, 2010. In December 2008, as Democratic electors were casting their votes for Barack Obama, Edwin Vieira Jr., Ph.D., J.D., one of the country's foremost constitutional scholars, had this to say, quote, "If Obama is not a natural-born citizen or has renounced such citizenship, he is simply not eligible for the office of president. If, nonetheless, the voters, the electors, or the members of the House purport to elect Obama, he will be nothing but a usurper because the Constitution defines him as such. And he can never become anything else because a usurper cannot gain legitimacy even if all of the country aids, abets, accedes to, or acquiesces in his usurpation. If Obama dares to take the presidential oath or affirmation of office, knowing that he is not a natural-born citizen, he will commit the crime of perjury or false swearing, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 8. For, being ineligible for the office of president, he cannot faithfully execute the office of president of the United States or even execute it at all to any degree. Thus, his very act of taking the oath or affirmation will be a violation thereof. So, even if the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court himself looks the other way and administers the oath or affirmation as Chief Justice John Roberts did on January 20th, 2009, and again the next day, Obama will derive no authority whatsoever from it, his purported oath or affirmation being perjured from the beginning. Obama's every subsequent act in the usurped office of president will be a criminal offense under Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. As a man who advertised himself as a, quote, constitutional law professor, unquote, Obama knew he was ineligible to serve as President of the United States. It is also clear that Nancy Pelosi and Alice Travis German, the chairman and secretary of the 2008 Democratic National Convention, respectively, also knew that he was ineligible to serve. Why else would they have deleted from 49 of the 50 certifications sent to state election boards the phrase, quote, and that the following candidates for president and vice president of the United States are legally qualified to serve under the provisions of the United States Constitution, unquote? Why were those words included only in the certification sent to the state of Hawaii, which requires an unambiguous certification of eligibility under Hawaii Revised Statutes, Sections 11-113. One might also question why, as the Illinois state senator's rising star appeared on the horizon, congressional Democrats made two attempts in 2003 and two attempts in 2005 to amend the U.S. Constitution to eliminate the natural-born citizen requirement. And why did each and every Democratic member of the 2008 Electoral College, having been forewarned that he was not a natural-born citizen, ignore their constitutional responsibilities and proceed to elect him? Well, so what do we do about Obama the usurper, the perpetrator of what has been the most brazen, bloodless coup in history? As a nation, we are in a bit of a pickle. We have a man sitting in the Oval Office with his finger on the nuclear button and his hand in the national cookie jar who has no right to be there. Yet those of us who insist on being on the right side of history, no matter how hopeless our cause or how slim our chances for success, cannot let the matter die. We owe that not only to our children and grandchildren and to future generations, but to those who pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the success of this greatest of all experiments in self-government. Can we demand any less of ourselves? When it is finally proven that he and his political handlers have used the nation's most sensitive secrets to enhance his chance of re-election, will it be left to citizen grand juries to hear the charges against him and indict him? And when he has been indicted on numerous charges, who will place him under arrest? Obama will expect to have lifetime Secret Service protection. But Secret Service protection is made available only to legitimate former presidents, not to usurpers. The task of bringing Obama to justice has little chance of success so long as he maintains the ability to manipulate public opinion through the mainstream media. However, that support is beginning to show signs of strain as liberal thought leaders such as Maureen Dowd of the New York Times and Chris Matthews of MSNBC have become bitingly critical. In recent weeks, Obama has alienated Roman Catholics and independents over the religious freedom issue. He has alienated a large portion of his black base over the same-sex marriage issue. He has alienated miners in the coal-producing states by seeking to bankrupt coal producers and coal-fired power plants. He has alienated blue-collar workers in states from North Dakota to Texas over the XL Keystone Pipeline issue. He has alienated union bosses by failing to support their ill-conceived recall efforts in Wisconsin. He has alienated motorists and truckers everywhere over high fuel costs. And he has actually alienated the military over politically motivated security leaks and his insistence upon choosing battlefield targets from the safety of his White House bunker. As the months pass and his defeat becomes a foregone conclusion, his former media apologists may begin to distance themselves from him. Those he's used and thrown under the bus will turn their backs on him. The late-night comics will begin to use him as the butt of jokes, and it will become fashionable in the ritzy salons of New York and Hollywood to say really unkind things about him, proving once again that the sort of people who put him in the White House in 2008 are the sort of people who, once they've tasted their victim's blood, will show him no mercy in 2012. If and when that scenario is set in motion, we may yet bring him to justice. In a 2010 speech to agency employees, EPA Region 6 Administrator Al Armendariz described his approach to regulating major oil companies. He said it was kind of like how the Romans used to, you know, conquer villages in the Mediterranean. They'd go into a little Turkish town somewhere, they'd find the first five guys they saw, and they'd crucify them. Then, you know, that town was really easy to manage for the next few years. When the day of justice arrives for Obama and his Chicago political thugs, those who enter the White House to administer justice will have far more than five miscreants to choose from, and the political left will be far easier to manage during our years of political and economic revival. Well, there you have it. Mr. Holroth has appealed to facts, reason, and logic, and he lays it out quite simply. Obama is not a natural-born citizen. Obama knows it. The DNC knows it. Congress knows it. The courts know it. And all of them together, along with our sorry-ass media, are complicit in covering up the greatest crime ever perpetrated against the American people. It's really important to understand that there is no law in the United States that confers natural-born citizenship. It's simply a fact of nature, and no law was ever needed. The Founding Fathers distinguished that the President and the President alone would have a unique and particular citizenship requirement pursuant to the Constitution, i.e. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. Natural citizens have their roots in one country, one people, one government, and one history. Natural citizens do not and cannot have dual nationality. They cannot have hybrid citizenships. Natural-born citizens are those born of citizen parents, parents who are of the same people, country, government, and history. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Commander Charles Kirshner, and we will further discuss natural-born citizenship and how it relates to the upcoming deep stakes. Stay tuned.
Barack Obama has usurped the presidency, and in so doing is now on the fast track to destroy America. Despite Obama's anti-American policies and disdain for the rule of law, there's a more basic and fundamental issue that needs to be addressed. It is the fact that Barack Obama was never constitutionally qualified to be president of the United States because he is not a natural-born citizen as mandated under Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. Simply put, Obama was not born to American citizen parents. That's parents, plural. He is an unlawful president. Answering the call to defend the Constitution, fellow Americans across the country have joined forces and proudly announced Article 2 Super PAC. Article 2 Super PAC's overall goal is to ensure that citizens and elected officials clearly understand Article 2 and the definitive meaning of natural-born citizen as intended by our founding fathers, thereby working to create a legally binding vetting apparatus which will ensure that all future presidential and vice presidential candidates are constitutionally eligible. We at Art 2 Super PAC are raising the needed resources to develop materials to promote our message across the country, assisting with key state ballot challenges, assembling our legal team of constitutional and elections law experts, and so much more. Please do your part to help save America for future generations and help support Art2 Super PAC. You may donate online at www.art2superpac.com. That's ART2SuperPAC.com. Or you may mail a donation to P.O. Box 940661, Simi Valley, California, 93094. We must work together to get our country back on course. We must throw off this ever-tightening noose of tyranny. We must preserve the founding principles upon which this great country was founded. Paid for by Article 2 Super PAC, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to One Nation Under Fraud. This is Gary Wilmot. My guest, Charles F. Kirshner, Jr., Commander, United States Navy, retired, was the lead plaintiff in the case Kirshner versus Obama and the United States Congress, which was dismissed by the Supreme Court without explanation in November of 2010. More recently, Charles Kirshner was a co-plaintiff in the ballot challenge in New Jersey. The case was Kirshner and Laudenslager versus Obama, brought by Pennsylvania attorney Karen Kiefer, and also unceremoniously dismissed. A resident of the state of Pennsylvania, Commander Kirshner served 33 years in the United States Navy Reserves as both a commissioned officer and an enlisted person. He was promoted to the rank of a full commander in 1992. Kirshner served annually on active duty for training and drilled with various reserve units until he retired in 1995. During his career, he served on numerous types of ships, such as carriers, destroyers, repair ships, salvage ships, and patrol craft. In addition to his military service, Commander Kirshner holds a BS in electrical engineering and a BA in economics from Lafayette College. Commander Kirshner took a solemn oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and feels it is his duty to support and defend the United States Constitution pursuant to that oath. Commander Kirshner has always maintained that Barack Hussein Obama is not a natural-born citizen as mandated by Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the United States Constitution, and that no one in the election process, including the United States Congress, which has a duty to investigate the charges against Obama's eligibility, has fully investigated Obama's hidden and sealed original records as to his early life story and have certainly not vetted Obama's Article II eligibility to constitutional standards. Without question, Commander Kirshner has been a leader in the eligibility fight and a tireless advocate of the Constitution and Article II, the Presidential Eligibility Clause. In fact, I can think of no one who has spent more time and his own money educating America about this greatest of constitutional crises, that is, the usurpation of the presidency of the United States. It is with great pleasure that I welcome Commander Kirshner to the program. Good afternoon, Charles. It's great to talk to you again, and thanks for taking the time out to be with me and my listeners.
Thank you for inviting me on, and thank you for that great introduction.
Well, you deserve it. You deserve it.
One minor correction in there. I think you said I brought the ballot challenge in New Jersey. It was in Pennsylvania with the Pennsylvania attorney.
Of course, that's right. It was Pennsylvania. My apologies. We know that Mario just had the ballot challenge in New Jersey, and I guess that was on my mind. Perhaps before we get into the discussion that I'd like to have about a number of questionable VP prospects that are being thrown around in the media, we could perhaps do a recap of what it means to be a natural-born citizen. After all, a natural-born citizen is what the Article II, Presidential Clause, Eligibility Clause is all about. And perhaps, Commander, you can give us a little bit of background and help our listeners better understand what we're going to discuss when it comes to these VP prospects.
Well, yes, that's the whole issue here is natural-born citizenship. It's not citizenship, as many people in the main media try to make it. It's simply about citizenship. It's a more restrictive type of citizen. That's a natural-born citizen. And it was put into the U.S. Constitution as a strong check against foreign influence on the person who would be the commander-in-chief of our military. In fact, they were very concerned that future generations after they were gone could somehow be influenced by foreign money, and they wanted to get as much protection as possible on the person who would be the future commander-in-chief and president of our nation. And to get that strong check, they used a legal term of art, a natural-born citizen, which provides the unity of citizenship and sole allegiance at birth. And that is achieved by being born in the country to two citizen parents. If you inherit citizenship from your parents is one way of getting it, or the birth on the soil is another way of getting it. With the only way to get sole allegiance at birth, the unity of citizenship, is being a natural-born citizen, born in the country of two citizen parents. Now, the reason it was put in there, when the who, what, when, where, why, and how, the why was a strong check against political foreign influence, and they didn't want anybody who had foreign parents that were either not immigrants, or if they were immigrants here, that they never naturalized. They didn't want that person to become a president because of the foreign influence of the parents on the child. It was to who put it in there? John Jay wrote a letter to George Washington, who was the president of the Constitutional Convention, and he suggested that this strong check against foreign influence be put in there so that the command of our armies would never devolve to a natural-born citizen. And we got to remember that the natural-born are adjectives of citizen. They're not. That legal term of art is not the same as citizen at birth, which is thrown around a lot as people think it's equivalent, but the at birth after the noun of citizen just says when you became a citizen. Natural born citizens is saying you were a citizen when you were born, but you are a natural born citizen, which goes to natural law, meaning who your parents are. And that, again, born in the country of two citizen parents. And Vattel codified that in his book, Law of Nations or Principles of Natural Law, and that legal treatise was used widely by the founders to justify the revolution and to create our new government. It was used to write the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And it is the only law, a body of law called the Law of Nations, not the book, the body of law, Law of Nations, is actually mentioned in the Constitution. There's nothing in there about any other type of law mentioned, like English common law, for example. They just threw off English common law. They were looking to natural law to form the federal government.
Right, and we also know that in 2008, when they were trying to push Obama through, that there was some controversy with McCain, and the Senate passed an informal resolution, and they made it very clear in there that McCain qualified because his parents, plural, were citizens, American citizens, correct?
That's correct. And another thing we should remember is Hamilton, one of the founders, suggested originally that the qualifications for the president and commander-in-chief could simply be a born citizen, or in other words, a citizen at birth. The founders and framers rejected that and elected to go with the natural-born citizen clause suggested by John Jay because it provides a stronger check against foreign influence. Because a natural-born citizen, you don't inherit any foreign citizenship from where you were born or who your parents were. You're born in the country of two citizen parents. Those citizen parents could be naturalized. They could be immigrants to this country and naturalized or born here themselves. But the important thing is when you are born in this country, you must be born of citizen parents. Now, in the case of Obama, his father wasn't even an immigrant to this country, wasn't even a permanent resident, let alone a citizen. He never wanted to be a citizen. He's a complete foreigner, Obama's right. father, and he's the first, Obama is the first president in the history of this country who had a father, since the founding generation, who had a father who was not an immigrant to this country. There's no other president you can name whose father was not an immigrant to this country since the founding generation, and they were, in the founding generation, was exempt from that clause.
Well, I suspect he's not even an American citizen now. I think he lost any citizenship he had when he was in Indonesia, but that's a story for another day. We can go on and on. We want to
highly probable that if he was not born in Hawaii, which is All the evidence seems to indicate that he's an illegal alien. He's not even a citizen.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Okay, so we know about natural-born citizen, but it's quite apparent that many in our government do not care and actually have shown an utter disdain and total disregard for the eligibility clause. I mean, after all, citizens have been writing at, you know, and speaking out at town hall meetings, et cetera, and they've got nothing but you know, derision and excuses in form letters. So now we have an unlawful president squatting in the White House, but we have to endure, and we also have to endure, you know, many political elites on the right and in the Republican Party and even the media touting the choice of a number of individuals for the vice presidential spot for the presumptive nominee Mitt Romney. And yet their status is as an NBC natural-born citizen is either questionable or has, in fact, already been proven to be constitutionally unqualified. For example, the obvious one, the name most often touted is Marco Rubio of Florida, whose name seems to be flaunted in our faces just about every other day as the leading, if not preferred, vice presidential candidate by the establishment right. Before we look at Rubio, however, perhaps we could just quickly touch on the Mitt Romney story. Maybe that you know, we've got about 2.5-3 minutes to take us up to the break. If you could just kind of get through the Romney thing, and then we'll get Rubio on the other side of the break.
Well, I think the Mitt Romney issue is actually being foisted on the public by the far left and the obuts to sort of like conflate the issue with untruths and half-truths and sort of mix everybody up. But Mitt Romney is clearly a natural-born citizen because when he was born in Detroit, both his father and mother were citizens. His father was not born in the United States, but he was a citizen when Mitt Romney was born. That's the key point. Were the parents citizens when the child was born in the United States? George Romney, being born in Mexico, inherited citizenship from his U.S. citizen parents, who fled to Mexico to avoid the changes in the laws in the Mormon areas of the western United States to because of the crackdown on polygamous marriage. So they were in Mexico. They were U.S. citizens, and they had a son named George. And this occurred, I believe, around 1906. And according to my research, at that time, Mexican constitution and Mexican law did not convey Mexican citizenship by birth on the soil. You had to be born of Mexican citizens. There is no way that George, who was that young child when he came back to the United States with his parents after the Mexican Civil War started in the early 1912, 15, 16 time frame, that he ever, he didn't stay in Mexico, he didn't naturalize, he was a citizen by birth, be born in Mexico to two citizen U.S. parents, and the Mexican constitution and laws at that time would never have recognized George as being a Mexican citizen. So he could have, under the new constitution adopted in Mexico in 1917, I believe, or 16 or 17, if George were to return to Mexico and lived there for X number of years, he could have availed himself of new laws and the new constitution and obtained Mexican citizenship. But okay. He had to make an affirmative action to do that.
Okay.
He never did. He stayed in the United States. He was a U.S. citizen at birth, not a Mexican citizen at birth. He wasn't even a dual citizen, as some people try to say. George was strictly a U.S. citizen at birth, not a natural-born citizen, and therefore he could not run or be seated as the president. So you can draw an analogy between George being born in Mexico of two U.S. citizen parents to say maybe like they fled there because of polygamy laws in the U.S. chain. So sort of like the draft debaters that went to Canada.
Right.
Now, two U.S. citizens up there having a child in Canada, that child is still a citizen of the United States from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Or people in Germany serving over there on a business or with the military, if they have a child over there, that child is a citizen at birth. Not a natural-born citizen, but a citizen at birth. So
right.
George is a citizen at birth. That was Mitt's father.
Right.
It's clearly to me, I'm researching as a genealogist, 40-year experience in that field. I researched the Mexican laws, the U.S. laws. The U.S. law at the time granted jus sanguinis citizenship by birth to George, even though he was born in Mexico.
Okay, very good. We got to take a break. Okay, we'll be right back.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Building a constitutional army to educate family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. Building an election strategy to stop the political establishment's erosion of Article 2. Building a communications apparatus to educate and keep you informed is what Article 2 Super PAC is all about. Make a donation to Article 2 Super PAC today. Your dollars will put boots on the ground, push back the political elite's agenda, and keep you informed. Donate today by visiting art2superpac.com. That's A-R-T, the number 2, superpac.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Okay, welcome back. My guest today is Commander Charles Kirshner, and we just had a rundown on Romney's citizenship status. So we know that he's cool, I guess citizenship-wise at least. That's certainly more than we can say about Barack, Barry, Sotoro, Sabarka, Stevie Dunham, Barry Shabazz, whatever his name is, Obama. Let's now talk about Marco.
It's interesting that the far left, like the Huffington Post, writes stories about Mitt Romney's allegations that people are erroneously circulating out there about Mitt Romney, but they won't do them about Obama.
Right. I mean, the hypocrisy is astounding. It's just amazing. It makes me shiver every day. You know, I can't believe our country is in this state right now. And there's so many people that just don't care. They just go around, you know, their daily routine. They're totally clueless. And if you bring it, Charles, with people, they look at you like you're some sort of a loon or something. You just
And they'll also sooner or later dig into the R word and call you a racist.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had that experience with a Geraldo show a couple weeks ago. His whole theme throughout the program was everybody that was calling in, and the whole rationale for this whole controversy is just strictly racism. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so let's talk about Marco Rubio, because he's the shining knight of the future Republican party, and he's being touted at every turn. As I said, I know that you have done a lot of research on the Rubio issue. So, what say you?
Yes, I pursued the issue about Rubio for over a year, and he wouldn't answer emails, letters, phone calls. I had other people call, write to him, certified letters, everything. So finally, as a genealogist, I and some volunteers, but we're digging as also genealogists. But finally, I just went to the National Archives and got a copy of his father's naturalization papers, and his mother naturalized the same time. And we found out that, lo and behold, his parents naturalized years after Marco Rubio was born. So Marco was born to two Cuban citizen parents, and therefore Marco, by jus sanguinis, U.S. law, international law, and Cuban law, was born a Cuban citizen. And under the 14th Amendment, since he was born in the United States, he's also a U.S. citizen. So Marco Rubio is a dual citizen of both the United States and Cuba, and therefore is born with foreign influence on him by birth, foreign allegiance by birth, and he is not eligible to be the president or vice president under the U.S. Constitution because he is not a natural-born citizen, meaning his parents were not both U.S. citizens. Either one was a citizen. But, of course, he was born in the USA.
Well, what do you think about a person like this that obviously, if he didn't know himself, he certainly had it brought to his attention?
He knew.
Of course he knows.
He was hiding it.
Of course he knows. So really, he's putting his political ambition before his country.
That's right. And then after I got the naturalization papers, I realized on there his parents came to the United States long before the Cuban Revolution.
Right.
So that was a misstatement in his Senate bio. And I used to respect Marco a lot more until he was very, well, I respected him a lot until he was so evasive on his natural born citizen term. And then after I saw this, that his parents came here before Fidel Castro even landed on the beach there to invade Cuba after he was exiled to Mexico for several years, that he was not a Cuban a refugee from Castro, like he said in his Senate bio. And I actually sent him emails telling him to change that. And he ignored those emails, so finally we went public on that.
Sure.
And then that blew up in the summer, and the major media got a hold of that, and they made a lot of hay out of it. But I told Rubio by mail, you better fix your Senate bio. He ignored me just like he ignored my request about the naturalization of his parents and when they became citizens.
Right. And of course, he's been on dozens and dozens of radio and television interviews, and he's been, the VP question is brought up. And instead of being honest and looking into the camera and saying, this is very flattering, to say the least, I'm proud American and everything, but unfortunately, pursuant to the Constitution, I hate to tell you people, but, I cannot be the vice presidential candidate, and of course I could never be president because I am not a natural-born citizen. And if the host feigns ignorance or stupidity or, just turn to the host and say, look at the Constitution, natural-born citizen. That's a very select citizenship class. It's only for president and vice president pursuant to the amendment, and I do not qualify. But instead, they just egg you along, just string the people along, and they're hoping that this eventually disappear as an issue, and one day, darn well he's got aspirations about being president of the United States.
Or else, not only so, because he'd be a national hero if he.
Of course, he would.
He'd be veered by constitutionalists
right.
Like us and people who really love this country. He loves political power, in my opinion, more than he loves that Constitution.
Absolutely.
If he loved the Constitution first and stood up for his oath, he would say just what you said.
Absolutely. He could end this. He could end this crisis with Obama tomorrow with a press conference.
He could certainly start the ball rolling to get that fellow Obama removed from office.
Right.
He's an illegal usurper in office.
And I have a suggestion. I have a suggestion for Marco Rubio. Not only does he call for a press conference, but he gets Bobby Jindal to stand shoulder to shoulder with him, and both of them tell the American people that they're not constitutionally qualified. They're proud Americans. They're grateful for the fact that their parents came to America and they were born in this country and that they have all the freedoms and liberties and the wonderful life that they have in America. But unfortunately, they are not, constitutionally qualified to serve in that higher office.
Let's explain Jindal's situation.
Yes. What about Bobby?
The governor of Louisiana is the Jindal. And his parents came from India, and as I understand it, his mother was 3 months pregnant with him when she got here. So he was born about 6 months after they got here. He doesn't want to produce his naturalization papers for his parents, too, but it's almost impossible to conceive that they would have become citizens in the 6 months that they were here when the governor was born.
Sorry to interrupt, but let me give you a little bit of insight. My parents came to the United States from the United Kingdom via Canada, and you cannot get citizenship in a matter of months. There's a certain number of years. It's like 5 or 8 years.
Right.
You have to be resident in the country for a number of years before you can even apply. So there's no way that the Jindal parents,
born a citizen of India,
right,
and a citizen of the United States under the 14th Amendment. He's a dual citizen at birth. He does not have sole allegiance and unity of citizenship at birth. He is not a natural born citizen. So Governor Jindal could do the same thing, speak up and say, I love the Constitution more than I love wanting to be president someday.
Absolutely.
And he could be a statesman and hero for this country.
Well, I wrote
letters to him. He never answered them.
Right. Both of them could hold a press conference together, take the heat together. What about Nikki Haley? Have you had a chance to research anything about her?
Again, her parents came from India, and again, she doesn't want to provide the naturalization papers because, again, I think she's hiding that they were not citizens yet when she was born. I don't know factually that for a fact, but I suspect since she's not revealing the information, it's probably the case. So, again, she's talked about being a VP candidate. I've seen her stand side by side with Mitt Romney. She's an excellent governor. But if she can't prove she's a natural-born citizen by proving her parents were citizens, naturalized citizens of this country when she was born, she is not a natural-born citizen, meaning her parents were not citizens when she was born in this country. She doesn't have sole legitimate birth. She was born a dual citizen and not qualified under the Constitution to be the president or vice president. She's in a very similar situation to Governor Dindell, but I believe she was born several years after her parents got here, not in the first 6 months.
Right. I'll throw another name out there that you may not be on your radar, and you might want to research her. I've done some preliminary research myself. She's been bandied about as a VP candidate. That's Susan Martinez of New Mexico. I believe she's got kind of an intriguing foreign connections, but I haven't looked
in depth on her at all.
Okay. Okay.
She sounds like a good candidate, but I'll have to dig into that.
Check it out.
I thought her parents were both citizens.
Well, check it out, though. Yeah. Okay. And obviously, the last one that's definitely been on your radar, and I don't believe you've gotten satisfaction, is Rick Santorum, because obviously, even though he's out of the presidential running right now, there is a possibility, although I think you and I will agree it's probably remote, but he is being still thought about as a possible VP candidate. What's the deal with Santorum?
Well, his grandfather came over here from Italy in the 1920s, and he was here a while working in the coal mines, and then he went back to Italy for 6 months or more, and then he came back to the United States, and see, he was here as by himself, not with his family. And immediately when he came back, he applied for naturalization. This is on his second trip back to the United States with the intention of bringing his wife and children over here. That's why he applied for naturalization, because as soon as he got his citizenship, he could bring his wife and children over. Now, what's interesting there is I got the natural, again, Santorum would not provide the information. So we had to track it down. We found out that he naturalized down in Pennsylvania, and we called the county courthouse down there and got all the information. But on his naturalization application, he stated that he had resided continuously in the United States. That was a lie.
Mm.
Talking about Pietro, the grandfather.
Right.
Because he left the United States and went back to Italy for 6 months or more. In fact, the youngest daughter was conceived over in Italy at that time when he was back there. And she was born in Italy. So he was probably over there more than 9 months, biologically. But anyway, he comes back here, and he brings the wife and children over. And under U.S. law, the children could have become citizens via derivative citizenship from Pietro, and Aldo was the father of Rick. He was one of them. If Pietro would have taken Aldo into the courthouse or in front of an immigration officer, and just he'd have taken the oath of allegiance. But there's no record in that county courthouse in Pennsylvania of Aldo ever taking that oath of allegiance.
Excuse me, Charles, we're just going to take a break, and we'll catch the rest of that story on the other side. We'll be right back with Charles Kirshner.
Building a constitutional army to educate family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. Building an election strategy to stop the political establishment's erosion of Article 2. Building a communications apparatus to educate and keep you informed is what Article 2 Super PAC is all about. Make a donation to Article 2 Super PAC today. Your dollars will put boots on the ground, push back the political elite's agenda, and keep you informed. Donate today by visiting art2superpac.com. That's A-R-T, the number 2, superpac.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to One Nation Under Fraud. This is Gary Wilmot with my very special guest, Commander Charles Kirshner. And we've been talking about Rick Santorum and whether or not he might or might not be constitutionally qualified to be vice president, since he's now out of the presidential running. And picking up that story, Charles, go for it.
Right. So we were talking about that, first of all, Aldo could have gotten derivative citizenship from his naturalized father, Pietro. Now, Aldo, there's no record of him getting derivative citizenship and perfecting it by going in and taking the oath of allegiance, at least in the county, Somerset County, PA, where they live, there's no record of it. Now, the next thing is he goes in the Army and serves in the Army. And then people try to say because he served in the Army, he automatically becomes a citizen. That's not true. You serve in the United States Army or Armed Forces honorably, you are eligible for front-of-line privileges and instant naturalization, but you still must go in and apply. There's no record of Aldo ever doing that. So he had two avenues there. He could have gotten citizenship, but there's no record of him ever availing himself of either of them. Now, what's interesting in our research, the genealogist that I was working with and myself, we found out that he had in early 1950, Aldo had an alien registration number. In the early 50s, they required all the aliens to register, and they assigned them alien registration numbers. Aldo had one.
That's a red
flag. That means
he
wasn't a citizen.
Right.
He wasn't a citizen in the early 50s. Now, Rick is born in 1958. So there's a few years there that Aldo could have become a citizen, but it looks to me like he never did avail himself of the two opportunities, and then the third one by naturalizing himself three ways, but I don't think he did before 1958, although we can't get the cooperation of Rick, who was born in 1958, to straighten this matter out. He still is hiding things. Now, the government records, we can't get access after about 52. They're not public yet. So we got a little window there where he could have naturalized, but I don't think he did.
So the verdict's out on Santorum.
The verdict is out, but it's smelling like he's not. And again, Rick is not being a state own political ambitions.
Right. It's all about putting themselves first before the Constitution.
And they took a solemn oath to that Constitution,
right.
And it means nothing to them, apparently. They speak like it does, but it doesn't.
Right. They're hypocrites. Well, speaking of oaths, what about officer's oath, Terry Lakin? I think you might have wondered.
As a commissioned officer, and that's the reason I got into this battle with Obama 4 years ago, is I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, so help me God. And so did Terry Lakin as an active duty officer. And, of course, he got court-martialed and sent to prison, ultimately, because of that. But he has a new book out. It's going to be being mailed to the pre-orders the end of this month, called Officer's Oath. And you can read all about it at his website, officersoath.com. And you can pre-order there, and I encourage people to do that, officersoath.com.
And help
Terry, because Terry lost everything for his belief in the Constitution and that last phrase, so help me God.
Right. Yep. And I believe you have an essay in that book too, correct?
Oh, yes, I do. I did a chapter in there, and there's also a vignette in there. In the back, there's about 15 vignettes, and I wrote a feature in there called The Officer's Oath Does Not Expire or Retire.
Great.
And that's,
great.
I was retired when this happened. I was minding my own business, raising my kids, they were raised, grandkids, enjoying life. And then this usurper comes on the scene, and I felt called to come out of retirement and battle for the Constitution and live up to my oath.
Well, you're doing the right thing, Charles, and all of us that are involved in this issue that are really fighting for what our country stands for, we have to be vindicated, because if we don't win this battle, our country is lost. And it's just a darn shame that so many people won't pay attention and won't dig into the facts and search for the truth. Because, I try to bring it up to a lot of people, and they think I'm nuts.
And this all boils down to the rule of law, and the Constitution is a foundational law of this country. And if we lose the Constitution, we're a nation of immigrants.
Right.
Obama's father wasn't one. But if we lose the Constitution, the glue that holds this country together is gone, and we'll just disintegrate like the Soviet Empire disintegrated, because the rule of law will be gone, and will be ruled by men, not laws.
Exactly.
By whatever is popular at the moment. And that's not what our nation is based on. It's based on a written constitution as foundational law and a rule of law, and that people should be able to get those laws enforced.
Right. What about your website, Charles?
Yes, they can read all about my federal lawsuit, state lawsuit, and my writings on natural born citizenship at my blog and my website. My website is protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org, and my blog is CDR Kirchner, at CDRKERCHNER, CDRKirchner.wordpress.com. And I've got tons of writing there on natural born citizenship and the history and the Supreme Court cases, which, by the way, some of my writings are in Article 2 Super PAC's website under the issue section. And I got to put a plug in for Article 2 Super PAC. You guys are doing a fantastic job out there to educate the American public on the history and the laws relating to natural born citizenship. And Obama is clearly not one. And he's only being able to get away with it because the American media is covering for him. They're a propaganda machine for him. The American media is anti-constitution. They just want it to go away.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate the kind words also. And I guess that will bring us to a close, Commander. I thank you very much for your time, taking the time to educate our listeners as it pertains to this rather disingenuous crop of VP wannabes. Your efforts to research what the media will not do is an invaluable service to our country. And unveiling the truth and upholding the Constitution is really all that we're asking. You're a true American hero, Commander Kirchner. You really are. You've done so much. Your work has been tireless. And may history judge your efforts kindly. Once again, thank you very much for being with us, and I hope we get to talk again very soon.
Thank you, and I'll enjoy listening for your closing statements, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
God bless you, too. God bless this country, and I hope things are better after November.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is Gary Wilma, and I'd like to thank Commander Kirchner for joining us. Obama has been aided these past 3.5 years by a despicable, irresponsible media. And he has depended on the ignorance of the American people to perpetrate this fraud. So the question is today, who will educate the hundreds of thousands, actually the millions of Americans, about the fact that the qualification to be president of the United States is actually based on a type of citizenship that Obama does not have. He's never had it, and he never can have it. Well, it's obviously not the media. They're complicit. That's obvious. The judiciary has abrogated all responsibility. They've issued a number of rulings, a spate of rulings that can be characterized as nothing more than the gravest of injustices. They've ignored the law, misrepresented the law, and just completely flaunted their responsibilities and just completely violated the trust of the American people. These rulings are so tragically flawed that they're almost laughable. And then there's those so-called servants of the people, our own elected representatives. They've been united in their opposition in opposing we the people. They have been protecting the usurper at every turn. They've been lying. They've been misrepresenting. They don't even answer letters half the time. And when they do confront the people, they sneer and snort and just say that they believe that Obama's legitimate, and that's the end of it. So really what we have here is our entire government has sold us out. I would suggest that if you're looking for some solutions, you might want to look at the Article 2 Super PAC, because the Super PAC's overall goal is to ensure that citizens and elected officials clearly understand Article 2 and the definitive meaning intended by the United States of America's founding fathers of natural-born citizen. And we're working hard to ensure that all presidential and vice presidential candidates are constitutionally eligible in 2012 and in future elections. We are raising needed resources to develop materials to promote our message across the country, assisting in key state ballot challenges, and assembling a legal team which includes the brightest constitutional and election law experts, and so much more. I hope you'll join our efforts and sign up to volunteer or consider making a donation. Go to art2superpac.com, art2superpac.com. Well, it's time for the obit of the week. Last week we had those three buffoons, those New Jersey so-called judges of the New Jersey Appellate Court. This week's obit of the week award goes to another pea brain from Hollywood, actress and comedian Kathy Griffin. In actual fact, this award is an accumulation of a number of recent stupid and repulsive remarks by Griffin. Just a few weeks ago in a segment of Bravo's Kathy, she was talking, answering a critical question about President Obama regarding gay marriage. And when Elizabeth Hasselbeck asked the president how he would move things forward, Griffin said that Hasselbeck's attitude to the president, who was a Harvard law professor, was inappropriate, and she told her to take it down a notch, bitch. Griffin also went on to use the C word in referring to Hasselbeck. So, you know, typical class on the left. This past week, Griffin said that she loves the president. Do not turn your back on this president. Do not be upset that he's not going fast enough for you. Enjoy him, because you cannot enjoy President Romney because he's not going to do anything for you. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in today, and I urge anyone who has missed the previous two programs to check out the podcast. You can find them at America's Web Radio or at the Article 2 Super PAC website. Just click the Radio Show tab. Article 2 Super PAC is the sponsor of this radio program, and once again, I urge everyone to visit the website at art2superpac, S-U-P-E-R-P-A-C.com. There's a wealth of information there about Article 2 facts, eligibility news, PAC updates, a video library, and as I said, you can check out the podcast of the program. Well, that'll do it for today. I'd like to thank, again, my very special guest, Commander Charles Kirshner, for taking time out today to discuss the eligibility issues as it relates to a number of vice presidential prospects. It was a great discussion, very enlightening, and perhaps you can tell your friends and family to check out the podcast if they were unable to listen today. My special guest next week will be my good friend Helen Tanzi, the director of the Article 2 Super PAC. Helen and I will be discussing the important work that has been accomplished by the Article 2 PAC these past 7 months, and give you an insight as to what the PAC will be doing in the upcoming days before the election. Don't forget to check out my blog, Give Us Liberty, 1776.blogspot.com. And remember that we will continue to have great guests, and upcoming in July, I can assure you that we will be having Terry Lakin, and he will be talking about his new book, Officer's Oath. Thanks again for joining me. This is Gary Wilmot signing off from the bankrupt, and that's morally as well as financially, People's Socialist Democratic Republic of California in the divided states of Obamaland. Have a great day.
Building a constitutional army to educate family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. Building an election strategy to stop the political establishment's erosion of Article 2. Building a communications apparatus to educate and keep you informed is what Article 2 Super PAC is all about. Make a donation to Article 2 Super PAC today. Your dollars will put boots on the ground, push back the political elite's agenda, and keep you informed. Donate today by visiting art2superpac.com. That's ART, the number 2, superpac.com.